Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Let's talk about anxiety. Sometimes a stressful situation can help us focus on what's important: keeping yourself and your loved ones healthy, being safe, being prepared. But it's also easy for anxiety to get out of control and then morph into panic. So today's Free Skate, we're talking about anxiety and how to deal. For those of you who don't know, Free Skate is when we invite you, dear listeners, onto the metaphorical rink for a free skate to share your thoughts on a topic. You do not need expertise, just an opinion. And the only rule on the All of It rink is to practice what's called think. As in, T is for true, H is for helpful, I is for important or inspiring, N is for necessary, or K is for kind. Think. It should be one of those things. So team All of It, how are you managing your COVID-19 related anxieties? Is there helpful advice you'd like to share to help us all get through these stressful times? Think, and then give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Joining me today is Dr. Judson Brewer. He's a psychiatrist and associate professor at Brown University, where he is director of research and innovation at the Brown Mindfulness Center. He recently wrote an article called "A Brain Hack to Break the Coronavirus Anxiety Cycle." It was in the New York Times, and he describes mindfulness as Purell for the brain. He is my guest on today's Free Skate. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. How are panic, anxiety, and fear related?
Yeah, fear is a very basic survival mechanism. It helps us, you know, not get hit by buses and things like that. But when you combine fear plus uncertainty, the thinking part of our brain actually goes offline and leads to anxiety. When you combine anxiety with social contagion, like we see on social media, that leads to panic. And with anxiety and panic, our thinking brain really does not work well. So that's the science in a nutshell.
So what is it, when you say social contagion, what do you mean?
I think of it as the spread of emotion from one person to another. So, you know, if you get on a phone call with somebody who's anxious, you might be more likely to get anxious. Or if you go on social media and everybody's panicking, then you might be more likely to panic, that type of thing.
Is that something that's actually a physical manifestation, or is that a mental thing? I don't know. That's a terrible way to put it, but you know.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think of emotions as, you know, the combinations of thoughts plus body sensations. So it's kind of, you know, mental is really embodied, mm-hmm. the way that I think about it.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, the idea that fear is, from an evolutionary perspective, has some benefits. I mean, it's how we know to get out of trouble, to get out of the way of something. So when is the point when fear itself becomes dangerous?
It's when, you know, what did Roosevelt say? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You can think about it when we start fearing fear, right? When fear mm-hmm. spins out of control, then it's no longer adaptive and it actually gets us into trouble.
Ah, so it's sort of the mutation of it.
Yeah, yeah. Think of fear careening. You know, a car is good for driving on the highway, but if your car goes too fast and starts sliding off the highway, not so helpful. So that's where, you know, fear is helpful, but when it kind of gets so much momentum and kind of builds on itself in a way that's not helpful, that's when things get out of control. And this is where what we're seeing right now with the coronavirus is, you know, that uncertainty is what's making fear go off the rails, where we don't have the information right now. You know, we don't have enough information about it in terms of how contagious it is, all this stuff, and, you know, what we're going to do. We're getting that information more and more every day. But our brains want to say, okay, you know, when's this thing going to be over? When can I, you know, what are the quarantines going to look like? All these things. And that's kind of fear, you know, getting mixed together with this uncertainty that then leads to anxiety. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. Let's take some calls. Beth is calling from Inwood. Hi, Beth. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Thanks for having me. A friend of mine on Facebook suggested a 30-day yoga challenge on YouTube, and each of the sessions are about 45 minutes long, which is great because it blanks my brain out for at least that long.
So it's interesting. Are you able to clear your brain, Beth, at this time?
I'm not going to say I have 45 minutes of uninterrupted bliss, but I have done yoga in the past, so luckily my brain already kind of has access to how to do that.
Beth, thank you so much for the tip. Let's talk to Joan on the Upper West Side. Hi, Joan. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. I want to say I really love your show, Allison.
Thank you so much. How are you taking care of yourself?
Well, with total self-care, which is what I learned to do years ago with my to help my anxiety. So now it's really helpful. When I wake up in the morning, I listen to some meditation things even before I get out of bed. And then when I get up, I turn on the radio and I dance. So whatever I'm feeling, I dance it out of my body. And then I make celery and cucumber juice and drink that while I clean up and make the bed. And I do give myself an oil massage every day. And then I move on to making a smoothie while I listen to you usually. And right now I'm finished the smoothie part and I'm doing my physical therapy exercises. So it's total. I've discovered sticking to a schedule really helps. And it's a self-care schedule.
I'm coming to Joan's house. Joan, thank you so much for calling in. Our number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We're talking about managing anxieties. Dr. Judson Brewer, a psychiatrist and associate professor from Brown University, is on the line. Did you hear some good things there, doctor?
Yeah, those were great. Those are great. You know, in fact, I'll just add to that. I've been putting out short, like 3 to 4 minute videos every morning to help people manage anxiety just on my YouTube channel, which is DRJUD, if people search for it on YouTube. And this morning, I was thinking about how it's really important for us to spread calm and connection rather than fear and worry. So I actually had my cat do a cameo appearance on this short video to demonstrate cuddling. And so one thing I would throw in the ring is, you know, where we can take a break from social media, take a break from the news for a little bit, take a few minutes just to connect with our loved ones, you know, tell them that we love them, give them a nice long hug. There's a lot of science showing that that's helpful for the immune system. And then if we have pets, cuddle with them. So folks want to see my cat cuddling. There's a new YouTube video up just this morning on that.
I think a lot of people are struggling with, I know I'm personally struggling with, needing to stay informed, wanting to stay informed, but getting the information is making me anxious. What are some guidelines for taking in for information in a way that is healthy?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. So one is to check our sources. You know, news channels try to do their best to try to vet facts and get, you know, confirmation and all this stuff, but they're also competing with each other to get the story out faster than the other news places. And so, you know, the most stable sources of information are the WHO, the CDC, places like that. So if people want news, want information on this thing, they should go to those sources. The other thing I would say is check to see, you know, when you have that urge to check the news, just take a deep breath and ask yourself, what do I actually need right now? You know, do I need more news? Did I just check the news 5 minutes ago, right? Mm-hmm. Is it going to change in the last 5 minutes? So we can actually titrate ourselves, not in a forced way, but just like, do I really need the news right now? And, you know, maybe check every hour, every couple of hours, because those update, you know, on that time schedule, it's going to help us stay calm, help us stay connected, help us, you know, move forward with our lives, but not in a way where we're just glued to the news channels.
Yeah, I started charging my phone across the bedroom.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Let's go to Ryan and Justin. Hey, Ryan and Justin.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Where are you guys?
So we're driving from the Shawgunks down to the Jersey Shore, but we're staying safe and staying sane by staying outdoors a bunch. We were backpacking by the Delaware Water Gap, and yeah,
too. We ended up going to the Pocono Mountains, the Shawgunks, mm-hmm. and we've kind of just been all over the place, enjoying the fresh air, enjoying the nice weather. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Getting outside. Sounds good, guys. Drive safely.
You do. Well, thank you.
All right, let's talk to Jono on line 5. Jono has a really important question. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for the show and for allowing people to speak. Sometimes we feel we're going to go, you know, it's going to be tough if we can't vent stuff. I'm a younger guy and I'm healthy, but there's a lot of stress around being a caregiver. And of course, helping out someone else relieves stress, but I'm looking after elderly relatives and I'm constantly bouncing back between they need my help, but history does not yet know medically if an asymptomatic person is bringing something to them. So that back and forth is really stressful.
Doctor, can you give some guidance on dealing with the stress of wanting to be helpful but not knowing if that's the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. Thank you for posing that. You know, there's probably not a one right answer for that because the information is still emerging on, you know, what the windows are for contagion and especially in asymptomatic people and stuff like that. So the one thing I would say, just use a lot of common sense around, you know, if you are caring for elderly folks, try to keep yourself physically distanced in other ways so that you're less likely, you know, to pick that up from somebody else. If you do have to go, you know, so things like that are relatively common sense. Obviously, you know, do all the hand washing and things like that before you see your folks. And then also try to minimize as much as possible the physical caretaking to what's actually absolutely essential. And there, you know, this is for anybody, you know, it's really nice to check in with our elderly relatives through phone, through Skype, through any type of, you know, of non-infectious medium in that sense. And so, you know, looking to see what's the best way to be a caretaker. Can I caretake emotionally in a way where I don't have to travel much, don't have to have physical contact? Can I caretake in the physical sense when I absolutely have to, but make sure I take the precautions and really try to limit my exposure to other people so that there's, you know, there's more of a little bubble around myself and my family? Does that make sense?
Jono, good luck to you.
Yes.
My guest is Dr. Judson Brewer. He is a psychiatrist and associate professor at Brown University, where he's director of the research and innovation at the Brown Mindfulness Center. He wrote a piece for the New York Times called A Brain Hack to Break the Coronavirus Anxiety Cycle. If you want to get in on this conversation, our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Anything you're doing to manage your anxieties, if there are any helpful advice that you can provide, or perhaps you have a very specific question that maybe we can help you out with. So, Doctor, it's really interesting. You recommend two steps essentially to managing anxiety, and the first is being to understand how the brain works.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important or helpful to know the science of the brain?
Well, just like anything, if we understand how something works, we can work with it, right? So if our car starts to make a funny noise and we happen to be a mechanic, we're going to do a much better job of fixing it than if we're not a mechanic. And in the same way, we can all learn very basic things about our minds so that we can learn to work with them. Just as an example, there's some really simple habit formation pathways that happen in our brains around anxiety. And if we can learn those simple pathways, we can actually learn to step out of anxiety. My lab just finished a study with an app-based mindfulness training called Unwinding Anxiety where we got a 63% reduction in anxiety in people with generalized anxiety disorder. So we based that app mechanistically on our understanding of how worry and fear habit loops get set up. So for example, if we're afraid, that's a trigger. We start to worry, which is the behavior, and then the result of that, you know, is where, you know, there's a little bit of a brain reward where we feel like, well, at least I'm doing something. And that actually starts to form a habit. So we can actually get into habit patterns of worry. And if we know how those patterns are set up, we can directly target those mechanistically. And that's what my lab's been doing with this Unwinding Anxiety app. And we're getting pretty nice results. We even did a study with anxious physicians. So got a 57% reduction in anxiety there. So, you know, if we can actually understand these mechanisms, we can develop really effective treatments and even deliver them through our phones.
Let's take a couple more calls. Laura is calling us from Prospect Heights. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling All of It.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a second year med student, so there's not very much sort of outside of thinking about coronavirus and medicine right now. But something that my roommates and I and my family and I are trying to do is set time aside to talk about literally anything else so we can take comfort in those social bonds and in our loved ones and our friends without just helping each other spiral into anxiety.
Excellent. Excellent advice, Laura. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Mickey in Manhattan. Mickey.
Hi.
Yeah, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so my girlfriend is she's tested positive for COVID-19. She's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida right now, and she's in isolation. And so I'm following the CDC guidelines, and I'm in self-quarantine for the next 14 days just, to be safe because we cohabitate. And so the way I'm managing my anxiety is I'm building her something, a piece of furniture. I work with wood as just like a hobby. And, I've draped all of these sheets and stuff over my apartment, and I'm going to build her this thing. I wanted to share that because I think anyone who paints or writes or, makes anything with their hands, I think if you can set your mind to making something, it can really help.
Mickey, first of all, how's your girlfriend feeling?
Yeah, so her symptoms are pretty mild right now.
Okay.
She has a fever, aches, chills, cough, all of the kind of things that the media has been saying are the kind of telltale signs. But she has tested positive. I think she's managing her symptoms pretty well. And, she's on like an antibiotic and she's on a fever reducer and stuff like that. So I think she's going to be okay, but she's managing. So.
All right, Mickey, first of all, we're sending all good vibes to you and your girlfriend. And get
back to
work on that project.
Thanks so much.
What an act of kindness. That's beautiful.
It's lovely. So, Doctor, before I let you go, one of the things you make a point about is that awareness is a hack for anxiety. How so?
Well, if we don't understand and don't see clearly these habit loops that we're spinning out in, we're just going to perpetuate them. Like any habit or automatic action, if we do it without awareness, we're never going to change. So the first step is to recognize, oh, I'm in this habit loop, then to map it out. Oh, here's, this triggered me to worry. And then we can actually start to tap into our brain's reward centers because our brains are always looking for something that feels better, right? So we can see how it just doesn't feel great to worry a lot. It makes us more anxious. And then we can replace that with something better. I call it the bigger, better offer. And, we've been hearing some of these today on the call. It feels better when we practice an act of kindness than to worry. It feels better when we practice yoga than getting caught up in an anxiety spiral. But all of those require awareness.
The name of the piece is A Brain Hack to Break the Coronavirus Anxiety Cycle. It's in the New York Times. Dr. Judson Brewer, thank you so much for helping us out today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.